following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's pray and then let's dive in. God, you're gracious, you're good. And I honestly do just want to take this moment and pause and take in what we are doing here. Lord, we don't want to rush past this moment where you have just invited us to be together as the body of Christ. I know some maybe that are here that maybe are just kind of wondering what you're all about and who you are. And I think this is a great moment for them, Lord, as they look at the family gathered together. Lord, that we've worshiped you. They've heard worship, what it sounds like when brothers and sisters worship together. And now we're going to just look at this question tonight of how can there only be one way to you? Lord, so I pray as we talk about that, Lord, that you would just be so present here in this place. Lord, would you just speak to us? Would you guide our hearts and minds into truth, Lord? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Admittedly, this is not my forte. Like, I love apologetics. I really do. I love other people telling me, right? I love other people sharing with me truth. And I'll listen to podcasts and I'll listen to these things. But when I go to teach, I'm not really an apologetics type teacher. But we got the assignment from Chase. He said, this is what I want you to teach on. So that's where we're going tonight. We're going to talk about how could Christianity be the only way? And I would just point you to this person right here, Timothy Keller. He is an incredible, incredible pastor. He's also a very good writer. And I always told, when I was in high school, high school pastor, I'd always tell parents of collegiate students or maybe even high schoolers, this is the book, The Reason for God, Belief in the Age of Skepticism. And again, such a pastoral heart, but an extremely intelligent man, Timothy Keller. Another one I would throw at you is a younger guy than Timothy Keller is Sean McDowell. Sean McDowell, you can go on YouTube, and Sean's got tons of stuff. He's out of Biola, has a ton of great material on apologetics. So when I don't answer your question tonight, just go to YouTube. Sean McDowell is the one that you'd want to go to. Just great stuff. Anyways, tonight, though, we are going to talk about how can Christianity be the only way? It is such a tough question because in this age that we're living in, we're about inclusion, not exclusion. Everything revolves around, you can see it in every aspect of our culture. We are about including people in. And when you say there is only one way, that seems very, very exclusive to the point where it's almost like, how can you say that even, right? And in fact, here, just quite honestly, as we're talking about this, Christianity isn't the only one that claims one truth, right? That there's only one way. In fact, a majority of the world claims that, right? Islam claims one way, Judaism is one way, Buddhism is one way. There's tons of truth claims out there that say this is the one truth. In fact, this idea of, well, maybe there's plenty of ways, right? That is more and more becoming a Western thought, or a way that we just think, well, there's got to be tons of ways, right? We don't want to exclude anyone, so we'll include everyone. So we want to talk a little bit about that. And ask the question, is it, if you really claim to one truth, is that wrong or bad? Is that wrong that you would claim to one truth? I mean, I would say in your life, you have many truths that you claim, that you feel like this is true of what might, you know, take the color of your car. Right? You have a certain truth. I could tell you your car is black, but your car may be maroon, right? You would say, Jeff, my car is maroon. And I would say, no, I think it's black. No, Jeff, I know for sure my car is maroon. Nope, I'm going to say it's black. When we go back around in circles, but if your car is maroon, hey, guess what? That's a truth, right? Your car is maroon. And the same thing is true with a lot of other things that we want to say, well, I don't know if I want to completely go the direction of saying I can know all truths. And so here's a couple people that would argue, a couple groups of people that would argue the point that there is one truth. First of all, if you're someone who would say, I'm an atheist, well, you have a truth, right? You have a truth. You would have a truth that there is no God. And so even going down the idea that how could Christianity be the only way, an atheist would just say, well, I don't believe in that at all. There's no God at all. So we're not really talking to them tonight, although they may use some of these claims against Christianity. However, I would just say the atheist just says, well, there's no way. There's no God. We live and we die, and then we cease to exist altogether. The agnostic person believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God or anything beyond material phenomena. An agnostic neither believes nor disbelieves in God or religious doctrine. So maybe that's you tonight, because that number has increased of people who say, well, I'm an agnostic. So I can't really know anything about God or any truths about God. So I don't believe there's one truth in God, because I really can't know anything about him at all. I may believe he exists. I may believe he doesn't exist. But I can't really know anything about him at all. That's agnostic. Relativism. Now, that's a huge one right now. Have you heard? Raise your hand if you heard of cultural relativism. Where high schoolers should all be raising their hands right now in the back. Right? That is a predominant thought, right? That everything is relative. So it depends on where you live and what your culture is and what you believe. And I don't want to tell you now, I don't want to tell you you're wrong. So I'll go along, and your truth is just going to be relative to who you are. There's no central truth claim. I want to stay away from that kind of terminology. I don't want to call anything true, because I believe everything is relative to who you are, where you live, what you're about. There's no superior knowledge. Now, and then one more. Here's the last one. Pluralist. Now, the pluralist says, yeah, Christianity, that works. Islam, that works. Buddhism, sure, that's great. Here's what I think, here's the pluralist thinks, is there's lots of different views of God, right? They're not exclusive. In fact, it's very inclusive. I want to say, if you believe in that, that's great, because that's one view of God, and I can receive that. Or I believe in this. Well, that's one view of God, and I can receive that. The pluralist says there's lots of different ways and avenues to understanding God. In fact, there's a great picture of that. And some of you, a lot of you heard it because it's super popular out there, is the idea of the three scribes who walk up to the elephant. This is not a joke, by the way. You've heard the one about the three scribes that walk up to the elephant, right? There's three scribes that walk up to the elephant. Now they're blind and they can't see. And one of the scribes holds on to the elephant's, to the trunk of the elephant. And someone says, well, what's the elephant like? And he says, he's holding on to the trunk. He says, it's like a big rope. Okay, that's interesting. Another one holding the elephant's leg. And they say, what is the elephant like? And he says, you know what? It's nothing like a rope, right? It feels like a big tree trunk. An elephant is like a big tree trunk. And another scribe walks up, holds on to the elephant, and says, you're both wrong. And now he's holding on to the elephant's tail. And he says, it's more like a snake, like an anaconda. It's like a big snake. So who's right, right? Well, here's who's right. It's the person who's standing back and says, actually, all three of you guys have got it wrong, right? Even though each one of them is so adamant, like, it's not a snake. It's so much bigger than a snake, right? Or holding on to the leg, it's more like a tree trunk. It doesn't feel like a snake at all. Or maybe, the confusion comes then, and the idea is they're all holding on to this truth claim, but they can't see the big picture. Now, the person who is a pluralist says, I'm standing back here and I'm telling you all that God is so much bigger than what you think. The elephant is so much bigger than what you think. The pluralist in that point is saying, listen, you're looking at all these small views of God, but I, right, the pluralist, I see the big view of God, and you've got it all. You're small-minded people. Let me help you along, right? There's so many different ways to God, right? But when we say that, something we're saying then is Jesus comes along, or maybe even you'd even put Muhammad in that, and you're saying they're holding on to this small view of God. Jesus has a small view of God. Maybe he's holding on to the tail, right? And he's saying, this is what God is like. And Muhammad comes along, and he's holding on to the leg, and he said, this is what God is like. The pluralist is standing back telling Jesus and Muhammad, hey, you guys got it all wrong, right? God is so much bigger than what you guys think. Each of the blind man thinks that they are so correct. This is the coexist sticker. How many of you guys have seen the coexist sticker with the major religions on it, right? I think the concept of idea of like, hey, can't we all get along? That's kind of the idea. And I would almost somewhat agree with that. We should all have civil conversations with each other. Absolutely. We should be able to go to each other and say, hey, here's what I believe, and listen back. Here's what I believe, and be able to go into dialogue about that. But the interesting thing about the coexist sticker is that those major world religions that are represented on that sticker are so diverse. In fact, if you're truly knowledgeable about religion and those major religions, you will know that they differ so much. In fact, if you were to say, what does it mean to be a human being? Each one of those people would have something different to say. If you were to say, what's wrong with the world? Each one of those world religions would answer that differently. If you were to say, how do we receive salvation? How do I get salvation? Each one of those would answer that question differently. Where do we go when we die? What is the nature and character of God? I think if you talk to people who really know truly what Christianity is about, they would be able to say, actually, there's a lot of differences between Islam and Christianity. There's some similarities for sure in the way the same wording and some of the understandings, but there's some huge differences. The same would be with Buddhism or Hinduism and Christianity. You would talk to people who know about truth and they would say, yeah, we're different, right? The pluralists may have something wrong here in this moment. Listen to this one. Who is God? Islam and Judaism says God is one person, right? Allah, Islam, and Judaism, Yahweh, right? One person. Hinduism, 330 million different gods. Buddhism, mostly no God. Christianity, one God, three persons, right? Eternal God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, just on that one point alone, those are radical differences. Now, listen, they could all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Do you see that? Each one of those could be wrong. It could be false, but all three of them can't be right. 330 million gods, one God. Those are radically different numbers, right? They can't all. How about this one? Purpose of life. Islam. Salvation achieved by following the five pillars of Islam and living a just life, allowing your good deeds to outweigh your bad deeds. Judaism, roughly following the law and obedience. Hinduism, soul never dies, but is continually reborn with continual quest to seek enlightenment. Reincarnation. They believe the soul undergoes a cycle of rebirth and passes from body to body. The body the soul moves into is determined by the goodness of the person. That's different, right? Can we see that? Can we just say those are different beliefs? They all can't be right, right? They could all be wrong, but they can't all be right. So when we say, man, I don't want to correct that person in what they believe, or I don't want to share what I believe with them because I believe all truths are true, we have to be careful with that comment. There's some disingenuousness about our truth if we're not willing to say, hey, I think we differ. I think the problem that happens with us at times is that we're, number one, we're afraid to offend the person, which I think is okay. We could be like, hey, I don't want to be offensive to you. There's something core at who they are and what they believe, and I don't want to offend that. And I think you can tread lightly. I think the second thing is sometimes when we see people do it, they do it with arrogance. And we'll talk about that at the end. I think one of the things that keeps us from sharing truth is sometimes we've seen it done with arrogance, and we want to be careful of the way we share that truth. So, man, I got 10 minutes. Here we go. Listen. Here's the other thing too, just one more about the idea of multiple different gods or multiple different ways to God, multiple different beliefs. Whatever you believe about God, right, then here's the trouble. Is he schizophrenic? Is he random to where he goes to the East and he says, this is what I'm like, Hinduism, Buddhism. This is who I am. I'm going to do reincarnation in this culture and in this part of the world. And then I'm going to come to the West. And I'm gonna be like the Christian God, right? I'm gonna talk about Jesus. And I'm gonna give you the Bible, and I want, that's the God I am here in the West. And then I'm gonna go to a different part of the world. And all of a sudden, now we're thinking, well, why would God share different parts of who he is all over the entire world and be radically different. Radically different. So my argument would be there is one truth, right, to who God is. Obviously, because I'm a pastor, I'm up here with a microphone. And so I do believe there's one truth. But now I just want to just briefly, in the little bit of time that we have, talk about why I think, I believe, that the Christian truth is the true truth. And here's why. Jesus makes some radical claims. In fact, he does some radical things. I mean, the guy who can walk on water, don't we kind of want to just listen to that guy? Like, if you walk on water, or as we talked about on Sunday night with Sunday night, the ministry, he caused a guy who'd never been able to walk. Like, I want to talk to that guy. Like, I want to listen to him. What does he have to say? He also makes some radical claims, like this one right here, John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Let's say that really clearly. Jesus said this. Jeff didn't say this, right? Christian apologists didn't say this. He goes right to Jesus. What did Jesus say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Now, that's very exclusive and really can feel like, oh, that's uncomfortable. But I would just say you have to get past that in a sense, because Jesus is the one to say it. Not only that, but Jesus has profound compassion for people and when he's sharing that message. Not only that, but Jesus, he's the only one of the major religions that has someone who rose from the dead. I mean, that's pretty huge. Thank you. And listen to this. There's a whole nother apologetic for the resurrection. And there's some great stuff written on that. Gary Hammerboss is one of those guys, 7 reasons for the resurrection. So I would just say, okay, I want to dive into that. If I'm a skeptic or a pluralist or whatever, I'm listening tonight, agnostic, atheist, then I want to dive into this whole thing, the resurrection, because I will just tell you so much of what we believe as Christians and truth hinges on that resurrection. So then I would say for you, dive into that resurrection. I want to know more about the resurrection. Listen to this, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, talking about Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. That's a truth claim. That's saying there is one way. And so I would just say this. This is the question that Christianity seeks to answer. And why Jesus stands above all other truth claims is that Christianity holds tightly onto a sin problem. That there's a sin problem that every person has. The Bible says that all have sinned, each and every person, Jeff included, continues to, right? Every person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, Christianity seeks to answer the sin problem above everything else and doesn't say there's any amount of good works or actions that you can take to save yourself. Other religions, they say yes. In fact, if your good outweighs your bad, you have a chance, right? Or follow these laws and these rules and these guidelines, and you have a chance to get in. Now, I can't tell you right now if you're in or not, right? You'll have to wait for judgment day for that. But if you just follow enough good things, you'll be in. Whereas Christianity says it's by what that you are saved? By what? Grace that you are saved. Now, that's a truth claim. You all just made a truth claim. You said it's by grace we are saved. And in fact, it's actually Jesus, the one that saves us, the one that walked on water, that did all these things. Ray Comfort does this thing. I'll just use it. Imagine that I offered you a choice of the original Mona Lisa, keys to a Lamborghini, $1 million cash, or a parachute. Which one of those would you take? Think about it for a second. The original Mona Lisa, that would go for a lot more than $1 million probably. Keys to a Lamborghini, $1 million cash. High schoolers, which ones would you take? The car? I heard the car. Well, what if I told you that you were going to have to jump out of an airplane at 10,000 feet? Now, which one would you take? The parachute. See, the parachute answers a problem that you have, right? The rest would be nice, and they have a certain amount of value, But not when you're up in the air at 10,000 feet and someone says, you got to jump. You're saying, give me that parachute any day of the week. And the same problem is with world religions or all other religions. They have some value. They can correct your actions and the way that you live and maybe have some defining work in your life. But they don't answer the sin problem. The sin problem is Jesus the parachute. And that's the question is, if you're jumping at 10,000 feet, then I got to have a parachute. If you're living this life and you have sin in your life, which we all have, then I got to answer the question, do I have Jesus? He is the one that will cover over all of my sin. Awesome. 4 minutes. Check this out. I want to read this. This is from the New Living Translation. So some of you are like, ooh, that's my devotions. I do that for my devotions, but not for Bible study. But tonight, I'm going to use it for our Bible study because it explains it so well. This is from Romans 5:12. So if you don't have a Bible, just write it down. Romans 5:12. And he actually talks about this sin problem and about how the answer to that sin problem is our parachute in Jesus. Romans 5:12 says this, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. So we all have it. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. It's in the Bible, Romans 5:12. 13, yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ. Well, you might say, well, how is that even possible? Adam's all the way at the beginning of the Bible. Christ is kind of in the middle. How is Adam a representation of Christ? But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, 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 many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of Adam's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all, listen, so important, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Here's why that's so important. He's the parachute. He's the one that says, listen, you're at 10,000 feet. You could take all these other things, but none of those things answer the sin problem. There's only one person that walks the face of the earth, perfect, sinless Son of God, provided for humanity to answer the Adam sin problem, which trickled down from the beginning throughout the rest of humanity and will continue to go on. And there's only one answer to that sin, and that's Jesus Christ. So when we say, listen, I've got a truth, I hold on to this truth. That's the truth, Christians, you hold on to. You say, listen, I believe there's only one way to answer the sin problem, and that's in Jesus Christ. And I need to tell people about that. I need to share that truth with people. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never heard that truth, or maybe you've heard that truth 100 times, but for the first time it's saying, okay, I've been searching pluralism. I've even said I was an agnostic before. I've been an atheist, but I'm hearing this idea that there is a sin problem. And I've never reconciled with that before, that I by nature have a sin problem. And that one answer comes in the parachute. I want to jump out with Jesus, right? I want to be centered on Jesus. Maybe tonight is that night for you. And if it is, then we've got a team of people that'd love to pray for you off to my left over here and just walk you through that commitment that you want to make. And just say, listen, I've got an answer. When people ask me, what am I doing in life? I'm just honoring the Lord with my life. He's covered over all my sins. I've received that grace that we sang about earlier on. Oh, Lord, you are so good to me. Now, I just want to have one more thing, and then somebody comes up and sings. Yes? Hey, anybody can come up. There's a microphone up here. Here you go. Now, we'll probably have a last worship song, maybe. Yes. Oh, okay. Cool. So here we go. Last thing. How you share this matters. Because when somebody says, I don't like those Christians because they think they have all the information and they've got the truth, right? They've got this thing they always say is truth. And I'm more of an agnostic or a plural. How you share the message with them matters, because sometimes this idea of sharing truth comes off as arrogance. And when I think about Christianity and who we are, when I think about who Jesus is, the last thing I think about is arrogance. The last thing I think about is arrogance. The first thing I think about when I think about Jesus and the woman at the well is humility. And so, how you share this matters. Am I willing to listen to people who have different beliefs than me? Am I willing to sit down and have a conversation with them? Are we able to talk cordially with each other? That's huge, huge for your grandkids, for your kids, for your coworkers. I should not give off arrogance, because that's the last thing I see in Jesus. I see a man who was willing to be humble, even wash people's feet, even go into people's houses who were what they would have said sinners at the time. He would walk into their houses. And so I want to encourage you, Christian, that when you come across apologetics, we should do it with humility and open conversation. Amen? Amen. And now, I'm going to sing a little song that I wrote just before I came up here. And it's about Bill Welsh.
Thank you, man. I didn't hear you calling for me earlier, if that's what you were doing. I didn't hear it. I want to thank you guys for praying for me. Some of you knew what was going on, and I didn't know what was going on, but it turned out it wasn't a heart attack. It was what they call arrhythmia or AFib and all that kind of stuff. But I got home on Tuesday, and this is so perfect for conclusion tonight with what Jeff shared and how we can claim that there's just one way. It really comes down to this one truth, and Jeff mentioned it, that he lives. Jesus lives. Anybody believe that? That Jesus lives. He's alive. You're not preaching history. You're preaching current events. He's alive with us right now. I came home, and Hans, come on up. I was so stoked that Hans could be with us. I've been wanting to have him here for a long time, and his daughter Mary. How many of you are going to come back 2 weeks from tonight? The group is getting bigger and bigger. Thank you, Steve, for being with us tonight. All you guys love Billy already, but I got home yesterday evening, and I was at home today. Spent the most of the whole day at home. And I was looking at some stuff online, and I went to look for a video of Hans that I could put up to sort of one more time promo tonight. And I came upon this one your Instagram is Jay Hans, right? J-H-A-N-Z, or as they say in Australia, Z. And I'm scrolling down through, and I come to this one, that one of those compilation videos that have been popping up all over the place. And it was the song that you guys did. And you just did just the chorus of it. And it was exactly what I needed to hear for me at that point of the day today. And then I was sitting here in the back, and I was watching so many other people that are going through things that are so much harder than what I've walked into just here in these last couple of days. And it's a song, I think it was Bill Gaither years ago that wrote this. And it's one of those choruses that have just lived and lived and lived and lived. And to hear God's people stand up and say, certainly congregationally, but when you're talking to somebody in your neighborhood or in your life or your family circle that's going through just the pits, and there's other ways to say that, but just walking through the junk of life and the hardship of life, and they see you walking through. And maybe they ask you, maybe they don't, but the truth upon your lips becomes this: because he lives, because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, I can keep walking these hard miles. Because Jesus lives, I can walk through the cancer treatment. Because Jesus lives, I can walk through this next trial. I can walk through even a season of loneliness because he's with me. Jesus lives. Amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight. Stand for 30 seconds. 30 seconds. I went into ER. I went into the hospital. But Joy had to leave me at the curb. I'm not the first one to go through that. Everyone that's gone into a hospital in the season of COVID, the people that love you the most have to stay outside. And I mean, you know what she did? She camped in the parking lot. She didn't camp overnight, but she was out there in the middle of the day knowing she couldn't even come in because she wanted to be as close to me as she could be. That's beyond sweet. That is gold. And I am so grateful for her. But I want you, what you guys just sang, Mary, what a great voice too. Wow, can't wait to hear more of you in 2 weeks. But that we're not alone in that time. Our King is with us. Our King is alive. And he walks right through the emergency with you. He walks right into it with you. He doesn't have to camp in the parking lot. Nobody can keep him out. He's with you. What you're walking through, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, he's walking through it with you, and he's going to bring gold out of it. Anybody believe that? Amen. Let's tell a whole bunch more people and bring them back with you next week on Wednesday night. We're here again. If you want to help us take down some easy ups. And did you guys bring some music with you? Where do they get it? Where do they go to get the music? Spotify or YouTube, and that's Hans, H-A-N-Z, Ives, I-V-E-S. Thank you so much. It was so great to have you guys with us, Steve and Billy and Mary. God bless you. Grace and peace on you. And don't forget, if you need prayer, the team is here, or the Christian who came with you. Turn to them and say, I am so ready to give my life to the one true and living God. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.